Father God, as we come before you in prayer, we just pause to praise your name and give you the glory and honor that's due you. And Father, we confess that your ways are not our ways.
Yeah.
You are higher than we can ever fathom. And Father, we are just thankful and grateful, not because you do good things for us, but because you are good.
That's right.
Not because you give us mercy and grace, but because your very nature is grace and mercy. And Father, forgive us when we fail to recognize that and fail to act upon it. Father, I lift up the words of Chad this morning, Lord, as he's prepared this week and you've given him a message that we would hear with ears that hear, understand with a mind that has been transformed by you. And Father, may we leave here different than when we came in. And may we always be remindful to share that goodness with others, the goodness of Jesus Christ and his message of salvation.
That's right.
And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kelly. Good morning. If you would grab your Bible, turn with me to 1 John. It'll be in the back. 1 John chapter 4 is where we are going to be at this morning. We'll unpack a few things as we get there. Right now, from today on until Easter comes, not very long, four weeks away, we are going to kind of set our focus as Jesus, in the words of Jesus, towards Jerusalem, as he is headed to the cross, ultimately where he will die, be buried, and on Easter we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what a glorious time that is. But today, what I wanted to do is I really wanted to focus on Jesus being sent by the Father. And to do that, if you came to our small group time this morning, and if your small group is teaching through the Gospel Project, then you will have studied the Christmas story or the birth of Jesus. And so I really want to hone in a little bit on that. Why was Jesus sent? What was it for? What was it to fulfill? How does it impact us? And so there's a lot to get through, and so to do that, really one of the things that I really want us to identify is that we have a God who sends. And from the very beginning, he has been sending. He has been sending his word. He's been sending his truth. He's been sending his plan, his judgments. He's been sending people, his messengers. He ultimately sent Jesus. And, you know, we take and have been a part of, and really exciting as we have been sending many of our people out to do ministry. Some of them overseas, some of them here locally. And I think that in doing that, as we see in Acts where they commission them, they place their hands upon them and pray for them. We'll be doing that here in just a few weeks again. But I think that in doing that, and as we talk about going or being sent, I think that sometimes in our minds we can be like, well, that's just for a few. And, or it's just for, you know, the last trip we went on was 9 days. So it's just this compartmentalization that we do of, you know, these people are being sent. And I think that we miss what God has intended for our identity to be. Yes, we send people on trips, but each day, each moment of each day, I believe that we are to see ourselves having been sent by God. And so here's how this fleshes out. I think that the stay-at-home mom, sometimes maybe in the season of life that she's in, well, I can't go overseas, so maybe she would feel bad that I can't be sent in those ways. And I want to tell you that your sentness is to one that has just as vital of obedience as the one who is sent overseas. You are sent to your babies. You are sent to your kids. You are sent to your household. You are sent to your neighborhood, to your community. And in the same way, as we'll see in our passage, is that God has sent Jesus for such a time as this, ultimately for us to be saved, for us to walk with him and live our lives through him. And so, kind of to help us see that, again, as we look at creation, I think that God sent his word. We see that. He sent his word. He spoke and creation came to being. Psalms 33 says it this way: by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. I love how if you hold your spot in 1 John and flip to John chapter 1 with me, I love how John describes it in John chapter 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. Isn't that awesome? As he's talking about Jesus, the Word was with God, but the Word was God. Jesus is God, but yet at the same time, as a part of the Trinity, he was with God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God sends his word. He has sent his word. We see that. We are able to hold it as he has sent his word through his people, and as they have been inspired to write down, we're able to hold his word. He has sent messengers. We have seen God sent messengers throughout history as God has been sending people from the very beginning. When we think of even Adam and Eve in the garden, he sent forth his commands to them. And then when they rebelled against those commands, he sent them out of the garden. We see that he sent Noah, gave him a mission. Even in this mission of Noah, I love how 2 Peter 2:5 calls Noah a preacher of righteousness, that on this mission, Noah built an ark, but even as he's building this ark, you know that people are asking questions and he is able to preach about the righteousness of God and the judgment to come. Abraham was sent by God to go to a land in which he would show him. He didn't even tell him where he was sending him before he sent him, but he sent him and ultimately promised him that he would become a father of nations. Joseph was sent by God to Egypt through circumstances many would say were bad, as his own brother sold him off into slavery, but Joseph himself realized and even said that God has sent me here to preserve life. God sent Moses back to Egypt to deliver Israel from Pharaoh, Aaron to go alongside Moses, Joshua ultimately, as they have wandered in the wilderness, to lead the people on into the promised land, the judges to help with military conquest as they go into the promised land, Samuel to anoint kings, Elijah to confront an evil king, Elisha, we saw do many mighty miracles, Jonah, he sends on a mission to go and proclaim the gospel to Nineveh, in which he ran from, but yet God pursued. He sent Isaiah, gave him a vision. Isaiah responded with, God says, who will I send? And he says, here am I, send me. Jeremiah sent as a prophet to the nations. I've put my words in your mouth, God says. He sent Ezekiel, exiles in Babylon. Daniel also into the Babylon exile to influence kings. We see even the writers of the prophets, prophets who wrote all of these things in which God commanded them to share with us, and we're able to hold them. Then it comes to God sending forth his son. In my small group, we started in Matthew just a couple weeks ago, and as we were reading, I was reminded just of Joseph, right? His wife, his one in which he was betrothed to, comes to him and says she's pregnant, and he's like, no, that can't be. And just think of all the things that he went through of maybe even wanting to leave her and planning to do that, but yet God coming to and revealing his plan, sending a messenger. Here's my plan. Man, the grace of God to send forth his word. I think he sent, think of even how he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way. Then culminating in sending Jesus ultimately to live a sinless life, lay down his life. Jesus himself sent. He sent out the 12. As he prepared them and gave them authority, he sent out the 72 who returned, and he began to discuss with them all that they went through. Ultimately, Jesus, even after resurrecting from the dead, met with Paul, sent him, told him he's sending him to the Gentiles. We see him continuing to go as the church gathered together. The Holy Spirit even sent Barnabas and Saul or Paul out on their journey. Peter sent by a vision even to go to Cornelius where the gospel went forth to the Gentiles. I love how he sent Ananias, go to Straight Street where there's a house, you're going to meet a guy who's there, and yet the obedience to go, even knowing that this guy had been arresting people, turning the world upside down, and yet there is obedience. God is a God who sends, and he's been sending forth through all history. And through the redemptive story, we see that it climaxes when he sends Jesus. God sent his son. And in sending Jesus, the ultimate expression of love, I want us to read today 1 John chapter 4. If you are able to, would like to, just in honor of God's word, stand with me. We'll begin in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved, but God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. That word propitiation means atonement or a payment that is sufficient. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. God, we thank you for your word. We ask that today that you would help us to see. Open our eyes to maybe how we have been sent by you. And that, Lord, that there is great confidence and responsibility, yet humility in that call. And so, God, I pray that in that we would learn as you have shown love by sending Jesus. Lord, help us to marvel and to be amazed at the love that you have shown us, the grace that has been shown, and God, that you've given us a message. And so, Lord, we need you today. Will you lead and guide? It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Here we see, he says that God is love, and this that he has manifest or made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. His love is made manifest. And I would argue that because God is love, that there has to be action. Love only by word is empty. And so it has to show itself. Even as we were talking about being intentional neighbors not too long ago, just a couple of weeks, as we talk about loving God with everything that we are, that it will lead us to love others because he is love. And as we experience his love, it will manifest in our lives. And we will see that and look at that even in the passage that we read here today. And so God has sent Jesus, his son, into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, John 3:17. And so 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, if you would just flip over, probably on the same page, at least it is in mine, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So God sending Jesus not only paid for our sin, but also destroyed the works of the enemy and has set us free from sin. No longer does it overcome us. I love how Paul puts it in Ephesians as he talks about us trying to understand the love that has been shown to us. This is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. It says that we may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That you and I, in marveling at the love that has been made manifest, that someone would die for a sinner like you, think about that. That someone would die for someone as wicked as you. And you're like, hey, I'm not very wicked. I'm not all that bad. But think about it. someone who has spoken against God the way that you have, someone who has rebelled against God the way that you have, someone that has object of wrath like you, and yet he died. That while you were at our, you and I were at our worst, Romans 5:8 would say that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And he goes on to ask that question. Well, some will die for a good guy, but for a sinner. And to think about the love that has been shown. Galatians chapter 4 puts it this way, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Lindsay and I yesterday went to a training on adoption and fostering, and very encouraging. I was reminded just of how hard adoption and fostering is, and some of you have experienced that full well, whether you've been adopted or are currently adopting adoptive parents. And one of the ways that one of the speakers really encouraged us was as they taught about Hagar and how Hagar here was a slave in Abraham's house, and here he took matters into his own hand at God's promise, and she became pregnant. She fled, but then God came to her, pursued her, ultimately telling her to go back to their house. But the way that she responded to God was pretty amazing. She called him the God who sees me. And I think that sometimes we live life, they were teaching it from an adoptive standpoint, sometime where we just don't realize, like we see, we feel unseen, and maybe that's you. I think we live in a culture, especially our young people, they don't really know their identity, and sometimes they can feel unseen or feel like they have to go search for their identity, and we have a world that's ready to give it to them, and so we've got to be careful of that. But I think it's important that we realize that our identity doesn't come, my identity doesn't come from my parents, it doesn't come from this world or the patterns of this world, but it comes from my Creator, who knit me together in my mother's womb. And so it's important that not only are we making sure our kids realize that, listen, as your dad, I fail. As your dad, I'm flawed. But there is a Heavenly Father who's not, who is faithful. And he has given us an identity. And he has given us a mission and a purpose. And we can live that out as we bring him honor and as we bring him glory, as we abide in him and walk with him. And that is what John is telling us here in 1 John. Is that God, his love has been manifest in sending Jesus, and he came as our propitiation, atonement, or payment for the sin and the punishment, the wrath of God that we deserve, but so that you and I can live our lives through him. What a great loving God that is, that we can truly find life. And so today I want you to know you are seen. We have a God who sees us and pursues us and loves us. And he didn't just say it, but he has shown it. And he gave his son for you. This is beautiful. So that you can know and find life in Jesus. Jesus would say it this way, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came, was sent by God as a part of this redemptive story, all to fulfill what God has already promised in the prophets. And in the weeks ahead, I'm sure we'll be able to look at many of what the prophets have said and how Jesus has been fulfilled many of those. Think about even just in how he was born and where he would come from, that he would be one who is born in Bethlehem, but yet be from Egypt and also called a Nazarene. How does one person fulfill all of that? And yet in Jesus, he was. God sent his Spirit. We'll see as Jesus rises from the dead, or even as Jesus is getting ready to be arrested, he prepares his disciples and even tells them that there is going to be one that comes, that the Spirit of God will come and will be sent, that the Father will send him. And he will guide you, lead you. He'll even bring to remembrance the things in which I've taught you and said. What a great promise. And then even after he rose from the dead, telling his disciples that they too are sent, but don't you dare leave Jerusalem until you got the Holy Spirit. Like, don't try this on your own, right? The Holy Spirit has been sent, the advocate. And the last thing I want you to see today is that God has sent you. God is a sending God. He's been sending from the beginning. And he continues to send. Here in 1 John chapter 4, he tells us that, look at verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, listen to this. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Now, all of 1 John is written so that those who would believe would be encouraged and find confidence in many of the areas in which he has challenged us. The one who says that he loves him but does not obey his commands is a liar and the truth is not in him, right? That's one of the challenges. It's to help you and I to identify, do I love him? Well, if I love him, that'll clearly be seen in my life. The one who loves him will not love the world or the things in the world, right? So, another thing that for you and I to have confidence, if I love him, that'll clearly be seen because I won't love the things of the world, but yet I'll be and love and pursue God. Here's another one. If you love God and are made new, then there will be something in you that is made manifest. Like it is clearly seen in your life, and that is that you will love people. You've not seen God. I have not seen God, but we do and can experience the love that flows from us. Does that make sense? Like that should bring confidence that you know him. Like if you struggle loving people, like you just, it's really hard. Like at the very least, what this is saying is you should at least question, like, do I know God? Because God is love, if he is in me and made me new, then that should be a clear manifestation. Like that should be alive within me. Does that make sense? But then also, no one has seen God, but as they see you, because God is love and God is in you, they should see the love of God in you. Amen? And so, you have been sent. God has sent you. He has sent you into this broken, dark world, and he has sent you with a message. And this message is that there is hope. This message is that there is life. And so, yes, we will continue to pray over teams and send them on short-term mission trips. Yes, we'll continue to do that. But more than that, it is my prayer that each one of us will realize as we have surrendered to Jesus that his character as a sending God that we will own as our identity, that I have been sent. I am a sent one of God, having been filled with the Spirit of God to make him known. So, I mentioned stay-at-home mom a while ago. Stay-at-home mom, each Sunday when you come, it is my prayer that you leave here knowing that you are sent. And you are sent to love those babies with the very love of God that is in you. And as you encounter other moms or neighbors, that you also see that that same Spirit of God is in you. Retiree, that as you have worked hard and now maybe have no longer go to a day in, day out job, that you will see yourself maybe now as having a little bit more time that you can invest. You can invest in the lives around you. I just want you to know that there are young couples, young families right here who would love nothing less than a one who is experienced in raising these crazy teenagers to come alongside them and say, you can do it. I promise. Hang in there, right? It gets better. They grow up. They mature or whatever it is, right? That come, like just encourage and love, and that the love of Christ, you would love them and encourage them. If you're here and maybe you still go to the workforce every day, that you see yourself as sent. Sent with the love of Jesus and the light of Christ into the midst of darkness. And that you would see your righteousness as a way in which that you can show that you can be a man or woman of integrity in the way in which you make decisions and do business. Business owners, the same. That you will be one of integrity. That you give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and don't worry about. But also that you will also handle everything with the utmost of integrity. Why? Because you are surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you've been sent to be the light in the midst of darkness, that every business or encounter that you have with people, it doesn't mean that every single one of them you're preaching, but what it does mean is every single one of them, there's a consistency that they see in you. That is someone that honors and serves Jesus. You've been sent. And you see how when we own it, then we read the Bible as a whole book, not just of moments of people being sent, but of a sent, sending God. And so therefore, the New Testament is all about the people of God being sent into the darkness of this world to preach, to model, to show the love of God in the midst of that darkness. It changes then the very things that we do. And so in the way of application, you have a sent identity. In other words, it's your purpose. It's your mission. It's a God who sends, and he sends you. He has sent you on, and it is one that he promises he's with you. So it's not one that he's asking you to do apart from him. It's one in which he places himself by the Spirit in you, and that he continues to use you and mold you. It's this abiding. I abide in you. And in abiding in you, knowing that he's going to lead you, because he is love, to love others. You have a mission. And so we intentionally invest in the lives around us. We ask hard questions, things that we've been asking over the last couple of weeks. How am I intentionally discipling and making disciples? You have a message. You've been sent with a message. Proclaim him. Help people to see that there is truly life, that there is adventure that he has called you to as you walk with him and live life through him, as it says in verse 9, that we might live through him. God sent Jesus to you. It's important for you to know, regardless of how you've lived your life, what you've done, that there is a God who loves you. He sees you. He sees you. He sees you and pursues you. He sees you and knows all the things that you have done. And even though he has seen all of them, he still loves you. Every single one of us are separated from God. We see that. We see that in this broken world. We see it in our broken lives. And that's a problem, because we're going to stand before a holy God one day. And he says that the wages of our sin is death. But God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son to die in our place, to pay the price, to be the propitiation or the atonement that pays the wrath, that it satisfies the wrath of God. And he tells us that if we would believe in Jesus, in that payment that he has made, surrender our lives, to follow him, trust him, believe him, that we would be forgiven of our sin, made new, that he would give us the Spirit to transform us, that we will be brought back into a right relationship with this holy God, and we can walk with him, we can know him, we can be empowered by him. And so today, he has sent Jesus, this beautiful, gracious act of love. And he offers it to you today. Would you believe in Jesus? Will you trust him? Will you surrender your life to him? Will you trust his plan? And so if you don't mind, let us bow before the Lord and ask him to lead us. Ask him to work in our hearts. God, as we bow before you, we just We ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that today that, Lord, you would help us to see that we need you. We thank you. We praise you for sending Jesus to do what we could not do, to die the death that we deserve, to pay the price that we deserve to pay. And God, I pray that we would live lives worthy of the gospel. And so, God, I pray for those who have been made new by you. I pray that you would send them, help them to see that they've been sent, that they would proclaim, and in proclaiming, Lord, that people would hear, and when they hear, they would believe, and when they believe, they would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And so, God, we've been sent. But God, I also pray for those who have not yet trusted in you. I ask right now, Lord, that you would give them a courage to put faith in you and what Jesus has done on the cross and follow you. Give them a courage to make that known, to proclaim that. And so, God, we ask, Lord, that you would move in power. Help us to trust you, to follow you, to be obedient to you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.